Blog Talk Radio.
It seems to be that Ignatius Loyola, using spiritual exercise buzzwords like contemplative prayer, relational Christianity, experiential Christianity, are deceiving the whole world. It seems to be.
Seems to be that this world is in a mess, seems to be. All life's just a test, seems to be. We think we've lived our lives, the best thing's clear to see. That only God will judge and bless, seems to be. Seems to be that we've lived our lives in lies, seems to be. We are born and then we die, seems to be. Life passes, it just flies, and it's clear to see that only God's truth will survive, seems to be. This world can bring fame, riches, mantles of honor and glory, just for a time and a season. Fame, riches, mantles of honor and glory, with no everlasting purpose or reason. Seems to be that this world is in a mess, seems to be. All life's just a test, seems to be. We think we've lived our lives, the best thing's clear to see. That only God will judge and bless, seems to be.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon News Radio on July 9th, 2014. Tonight's broadcast topic is going to be Jesuit Ignatius Loyola Spiritual Exercises Buzzwords. My co-host tonight is Tom Frest of Inquisition Update. Welcome to the broadcast, Tom.
Good evening. Nice to be with you, Walt, and nice to be with your listeners.
Well, you know, I just got off listening to a broadcast here about a half hour ago. It was 2 hours they were talking about the Jesuits and Jesuit history and the power structure. Tom and I have covered this briefly on other broadcasts, All Roads Lead to Rome, and we've covered the Council of Trent. Now, to understand fully what's Ignatius Loyola, I can't assume that you know some of this history. We all need to know a little bit about the Council of Trent, the Reformation. Could you just give a little short two-minute brief outline of what the Council of Trent and the Reformation, Tom?
Well, the Protestant Reformation was a return to biblical Christianity. When the Protestants got the Bible in their own language so they could read it for themselves, they discovered what I've discovered, what all Protestants discover. That is, that the papacy is the biblical, historical, and prophetic antichrist of the Bible. That was their belief. That's why they protested. They protested Rome as the church of antichrist, and they came out. Now, Rome wasn't going to take that lightly, especially because the Protestant Reformation spread all over Europe, and the people realized they didn't need the Pope anymore for anything. Just as a man doesn't need Antichrist. And by the same token, they also realized that in fulfillment of the prophecies of the Antichrist, that he ruled over the kings of the earth. And they realized that their own governments were servants of the papacy, the Antichrist, and not Christ, and not the people. So there was revolution all over Europe, and they liberated the people from those papal governments and established their own governments. So no longer did the people confess their sins to the priest. No longer did the people pay their Peter's pence to Rome. No longer did they buy indulgences. No longer did they practice Roman Catholicism. And all of Europe was now free in Christ. That was their Red Sea crossing, the Protestant Reformation. They were free of the bondage of Pharaoh and Rome. And Rome was not going to sit by and take it idly. She was starving to death. People were flooding out of the Roman Catholic Church, and for all intents and purposes, it looked like the Church of Antichrist would die for lack of interest. So they called together the Council of Trent, led by the Jesuits, and they issued a proclamation of war against the Protestant Reformation. And the Jesuits have been the leaders, the militia, the secret special forces in directing and controlling the counter-reformation to destroy Protestantism from off the face of the earth, and then to restore the papacy to its original all-controlling power. And we know that today as the New World Order, as spoken of by George H.W. Bush and his son, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton, and Ronald Reagan, and virtually every president we've had almost since John F. Kennedy. So the Counter-Reformation is alive and well, and it has defeated Protestantism simply because unaware of their Protestant history, they're unaware of what the Protestant reformers believed. And as a result of that ignorance, they're now ready to believe just about anything and what is being taught to them by the Roman Catholic Church through the control of the Jesuits. They've taken over the churches, the seminaries, and they're teaching Jesuit spiritual formation or the spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola. They are taking the people away from the scriptures and putting them on contemplative prayer and all these mystical New Age forms of spirituality that are literally, if not replacing the scriptures, they are become equal to the scriptures. And this is where the great error is. Protestant Reformation was built on sola scriptura, scriptures alone, sola fide, faith alone, sola gratia, that is great by, we are saved by grace alone, and solo Christos, Christ alone. But Rome and her Jesuits and her spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola say, no, not just Christ alone, not just faith alone, not just grace alone, not just scriptures alone, but spirituality, experiential Christianity, contemplative prayer, meditation in Eastern forms of mysticism, communal and repetitious prayer, and visualizations, vain imaginations, visualizing Christ, and they call that having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All of these mystical things that the Jesuits are now teaching in the Protestant seminaries and in the Protestant churches is nothing but throwing, its all intent and purpose is to destroy the Protestant Reformation, destroy the very foundation of Protestantism, sola gratia, sola fide, sola Christos, sola scriptura. And add to that visualizations, direct contact with God, experiential Christianity, visualizations, mysticism. It's all paganism, and it's all wrapped up in Roman Catholicism. And what these people don't realize is they're being made Roman Catholic.
Yes. Yes.
They're being made Roman Catholic because, after all, they have to fit into the new world order of the Pope, the Antichrist of the Bible.
Well, thanks, Tom.
That was more than 2 minutes, but
that's all right. That was information that needed to be covered. I want to go over briefly how I was led to this, expose this, how God led me. And I was just happened to be up on the internet listening to a broadcast, and this fellow was reading out of relational Christianity, Experiencing Intimacy and Companionship with the Living God by Steve Meeks. Now, it sounds like a very good title, and so, but I didn't, something about the relational Christianity. So I did some research on Steve Meeks. Now, understand when we get this, I'm laying the foundation that we're not saying, this spiritual formation is not something that I'm bringing to the table. This is. I'm going to show you that the people that follow this stuff are not embarrassed to admit it. So I'm going to go right to Steve Meeks' website and read his short bio. Steve Meeks has served as senior pastor of Calvary since October 1984. He is the author of three books, Relational Christianity, The Last Great Revival, and Incarnational Christianity. He is a graduate of Louisiana State University and received his Master's of Divinity and Doctor of Ministry degrees from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. Now this, the next sentence is right off his website. This is not my words. His ministry focuses on intimacy with God and spiritual formation. And within
spiritual formation, there's the Jesuit buzzword right there.
Right. He
spiritual formation is just another way of saying the spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola.
Very good. And so
and his meaning here when he says his ministry focuses on intimacy with God. Later on, they'll use the term having a personal relationship with God, and then you find out later that their intimacy with God or their personal relationship with God is got through visualization, mysticism, using their own wicked imaginations, creating an image in their mind of God, and we are forbidden to make images of him, whether mental or physical, and contemplative prayer, which is vain, repetitious prayer. It's almost like the Eastern mantra that they chant over and over and over. It's a form of self-hypnosis is what it is. And look, let's just face it. Nowhere in the Bible is the word spiritual formation ever used. And that should just awaken everybody who's been exposed to this stuff. They've never heard these terms used in the scriptures, and therefore they ought to automatically be suspect. But they're not suspect. People are tired of the Bible. They're tired of the truth. They won't endure sound doctrine anymore. They want a new age spirituality where they can sit with their legs crossed and repeat om, 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 and empty their mind of every neuron God gracious gave them, and then just create their own God in their mind, a God made after their image. And there goes Protestantism right out the window.
Now to show who is the author of spiritual formation, I'm going to be reading this right off of the Jesuit School of Theology in Berkeley, a graduate school of Santa Clara University website, a Jesuit university. Now, this is coming right off of a Jesuit website. The Jesuit School of Theology's mission statement highlights the importance of integral formation. The Jesuit School of Theology achieves its mission through the academic, pastoral, and personal formation of Jesuits and other candidates for ministry, ordained and lay, in the Roman Catholic Church. Scholarship, teaching, and research are all understood as a form of ministry and should have depended upon the program and the interests of the student, a dimension of formation. Now, this next paragraph is, I'm reading this right off the website.
I don't want the listeners to miss the point that you're trying to make. You've gone to a Jesuit website, and they are literally claiming credit this spiritual formation. It's their baby. It's their creation. Do you realize the shock troops of the Roman Catholic Counter-Reformation, the militia of the Roman Catholic Counter-Reformation, the absolute warriors dedicated to destroy Protestantism are claiming credit for what has now become so popular teaching in the Protestant churches. The Jesuits are not ashamed to admit that they are the authors and the finishers of this spiritual formation. So if anybody doubts us when we say that they're teaching Jesuit spirituality in all the seminaries and all the Protestant churches, all you got to do is go to the Jesuit website, and right here they admit it.
Yes, in the next sentence is the Jesuit School of Theology spiritual formation programs serve personal and ministerial development through prayer days, retreats, faith, sharing groups, spiritual direction, and liturgical prayer. Yes.
That is prayer right out of the Roman Catholic liturgy. Okay? That's what they're going to be teaching in the Protestant churches.
That's what they are teaching.
Yes.
Yes. I mean,
those that don't will soon be teaching it.
Now, I want to get back to this book, Relational Christianity by Steve Meeks.
Yeah.
This book was published in 1991, and it uses the NIV.
Naturally, a Jesuit Bible.
Uses a Jesuit Bible to define
certainly a
Jesuit teaching.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is here's a little transcript that I want to share. This is a transcribe off of
a transcript.
This is a transcript off of this fellow was reading this, and the title of his broadcast was Restoring Biblical Church, Data-Based Christianity.
Data-based Christianity. Where's that in the Bible? Data-based Christianity. We got to have data-based Christianity. What gobbledygook?
Because the data-based Christianity comes out of the Relational Christianity book. That's a buzzword that came out of the book.
Yeah.
Now, the fellow, he starts, he's read a little bit out of the book, and then this next paragraph is he's you might say, kind of giving a book review of what he just read. And he says, that's right. Are we transformed? This is the question. Are we transformed? And I believe, I absolutely, these are one of the few things I absolutely believe, and that is that we are transformed, not by knowledge in our minds. We are transformed by relationships.
Can I stop you right there?
Go.
What does the Bible say? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
But he says, I absolutely believe that it is that we are transformed not by knowledge in our minds. Direct contradiction of the scriptures, which is absolutely the method used by the Jesuits.
Yes, it is.
Go ahead, Walt.
We are transformed by relationships.
We are transformed by relationships. What book, chapter, and verse is that in the Bible?
Transformed.
We are transformed by relationships?
Yes.
Keep reading.
We are transformed. I believe that the Christian, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, true Christianity is transmitted through relationships.
Transmitted through relationships. Christianity is transmitted through relationships?
Where's that in the Bible?
Christianity is transmitted through the scriptures.
That's right. Scripture alone. People who have been transformed by relationship with genuine Christian people, who have been transformed by genuine relationship with God, I believe that's how transformation comes. and I don't believe it comes any other way.
Don't believe it comes any other way. Wow.
And the word transformation, that's a New Age buzzword.
Sure.
I don't
process, see. It doesn't come from God. It has to be learned, not from the scriptures, but from some Jesuit-trained seminarian standing behind the pulpit, a wolf in sheep's clothing.
That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
I don't believe it comes from just a head knowledge, just a personal human effort at it. It comes from relationships, and that intimate, that first relationship is a relationship with God. Let me just let me finish this paragraph, and we can open it up for some discussion now. And understand this next paragraph. When I'm going to read this, this is
too
not.
Bad I wasn't there to help discuss this, but go ahead.
Now he starts off with three words in Western culture. Now that's in the book. Now that's in the book he's reading, in Western culture.
Do you know how they define Western culture? The Vatican always refers to everything east of the or everything west of the Balkans or west of Constantinople as the West. Okay? Italy, all of Europe, England, Ireland, North and South America are the West, according to the Vatican. The East is Constantinople, where Constantine left and formed the Eastern Orthodox Church. That's in the East. We are part of Rome's Western jurisdiction, according to the Donation of Constantine and Roman Catholic canon law. So when you hear someone from the Vatican or somebody trained by the Vatican, like this speaker that we're reading, they need to understand what context this reference to Western culture is. It's Roman Catholic culture. Go ahead, Walt.
And also, in this book, Relational Christianity, the word Protestant is not in the book, the word Jesuit's not in the book, and the word Reformation is not in the book. Okay.
Neither is Counter-Reformation.
Absolutely. Okay. Okay. So in Western culture, he's been reading out of relational Christianity. Now he's aiming towards the Protestantism. He says this is an observation that Protestant Christianity, I would say Roman Catholic Christianity, has just in general term, Roman Catholic is a ritual based, primarily ritually based. You go through these rituals. They call them sacraments. You do these things. You do these rituals. It doesn't really have to affect your life that much. You just do the rituals, and this is what the Protestant reformers condemned. And this is what the Protestant reformers condemned as. They put all this in category of works. Work salvation, doing rituals that don't really even transform you. Okay, so Roman Catholicism focused on rituals and still does, I believe, rituals.
He knows darn well they do. He's probably participated in those rituals. He probably does on a regular basis.
It's a big pomp and circumstance rituals. It's trying to impress you with this big deal. You know, Protestant Christianity made a significant shift, and the shift was to intellectually pursuing the truth.
Yeah, he accuses the Protestant Reformation of merely intellectual pursuit of the truth.
And it's just the opposite. It's from the scriptures.
And look, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you from the scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God will never deviate from the scriptures, never adding to, never taking away. And never adding means never adding to the scriptures means that the Holy Spirit, when he witnesses to you, remember that Christ said, I must go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But when he comes, he will teach you all things. Now, does that mean the Holy Spirit would come and give us information that's not given in the scriptures? Not at all. It means he will help you understand the scriptures. Okay? We, with the help of the Holy Spirit, have understanding from the scriptures.
That's right.
But intellectual pursuit of the truth puts it forth that Protestants merely read the Bible as an academic work without any assistance from the Holy Spirit to glean the truth from the scriptures. And what he's doing here is very subtly downplaying the Protestant Reformation as a useless intellectual endeavor.
That's exactly what he said.
Okay? Listen to what he says. Protestant Christianity made it a significant shift, and the shift was to intellectually pursuing the truth. In other words, the shift away from ritualism or sacramentalism, intellectually pursuing the truth. Now look, when we read the scriptures, we're supposed to be renewing our mind, aren't we? It's by knowledge of Christ. Well, where do you go to gain knowledge about Christ and God? From the scriptures. If you're going anywhere else, you're not likely to get the truth, are you? This is a subtle but direct attack against the Protestant Reformation.
Yes,
I'll let you continue with it.
This is why the sermon is the centerpiece of Protestant Christianity. The sermon, the pastor in the sermon, intellectually pursuing the truth.
No, isn't he not criticizing the pastor and the sermon? You know, God raised up this foolish thing. It says in the scripture, the foolish thing called preaching. That was God's choice, to spread the word of God through preaching. The sermon is all important, and that is what is lacking in the Roman Catholic Church. Knowledge from the scriptures through expounding from the scriptures is almost non-existent in the Roman Catholic Church. It's all about rituals.
They replaced scripture with spiritual formation.
They replaced the scripture and preaching, two things that God ordained for his people, the scriptures and preaching, to ritualism, or worse than that, pagan spirituality.
I'm going to go down here to...
I want your listeners to know that they're doing this in all the churches.
Yes, that is the point that I want to – I mean, we're not focusing on a messenger. We're focusing – this message, this is what they're delivering. They're not having Bible studies. They're having book studies. You know, and down here a little bit further, and he turns directly towards the Protestant Reformation. He says – he does that through a close, intimate relationship with us as we gather, as we are with other. We have relationship with other Christians that is transmitted in that process, and that is why what Christianity is about. Protestant Christianity, I believe, is that we are historically, we are in the end, kind of the end times of Protestant Christianity.
Yeah, he's proclaiming the end of the Protestant Reformation. That's exactly what the Jesuits would say.
That's counter-reformation. That is teaching the counter-reformation.
Yes.
Protestant Christianity was powerful to break away from the Roman but it was not powerful enough to sustain, because what happened in Protestant Christianity was that knowledge and intellectual knowledge took over. And what does knowledge do? Knowledge
makes one wise unto salvation. That's what it does.
Yes, yes, yes. And knowledge.
But what does he say about it? He says knowledge puffs up.
You know, we need knowledge. We need the right of the right kind of knowledge. We need we too know the truth. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32. If you abide.
Whoops, we lost your audio, Walt. Your microphone fouled up again. I don't hear you, Walt. Still don't hear you. Walt's lost his microphone. I was afraid of this. Anyway, it says in Protestant Christianity was that knowledge and intellectual knowledge took over. And what does knowledge do, according to this author? Knowledge puffs up. We need knowledge. We need the right kind of knowledge. We, to know the truth, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, if you abide in my words and my words abide in you, you will know the truth and the truth shall make you free. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying you will know the truth if you get together with other Christians. You have to have a relationship with another Christian, and you have to get together and do all these visualizations and communal repetitious prayer and all of this New Age mystic gobbledygook. Walt, is your microphone working yet?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Protestant Christianity was the knowledge and the intellectual knowledge took over. And what does knowledge do? Knowledge puffs up. We need knowledge. We need the right kind of knowledge. We, too, know the truth. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, if you abide in my words and my words abide in you, you will know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Knowing the truth is not simply an intellectual thing. It's like a man knows his wife. It's an experiential type of relationship.
An experiential type.
There it goes.
In other words, you can't get the truth but by experiences. And what are these experiences? These experiences are what they get from having these visualizations of God. They say that is experiencing God. That is really getting to know God. To sit there with your eyes closed and repeat some word over and over and over and over again till it loses its meaning, until your mind empties completely out and you become just mush, mental mush, then you can experience God. That's what they're saying. I've read their stuff. I know what this is all about, this experiential Christianity. Let me tell you something else about experiential Christianity, according to the Jesuits. Experiential Christianity is, set scriptures aside, they're too controversial. You get truth by meditation. You get truth by visualization. You get truth by repetitious prayer. You get truth by listening to Mary and whatever Mary says, or whatever the goddess says, or whatever dead saints say to you when you're in this self-hypnotic state, or whatever the Pope says. Okay? This is a systematic, subtle though it may be, it's a systematic setting aside of the scriptures and looking for alternative ways to gain knowledge. That's what this is really all about, knowledge.
And the goal.
Knowledge not of the God of glory, but the God of this world.
And it's the Counter-Reformation.
That's a Counter-Reformation. The target for all of this is the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation. Solo Christos, solo fide, solo gracia, solo scriptura. That's out.
That's right. What happened in Protestant Christianity is that the intellectual produced pride and arrogance and division. and division. I mean, you just read you read back in Luther and Calvin and Swingle and all of these. What happened? It was division and all this hard. I mean, terrible types of division. They would kill each other if you didn't.
Wait a minute. When in all post-Protestant Reformation history is it ever recorded that a Protestant killed another Protestant because of what he believed?
I haven't come across it.
Not one single one. But on the other hand, how many has Rome killed and tortured and stole their children and stole their property? How many of them, how many of those Bible-believing, God-fearing people throughout the ages who would never bend the knee to the Pope, who would never participate in the sacramental salvation of Rome, who would never confess their sins to a priest, who would never bow down and worship an image or an idol, who would never listen to a spirit called Mary, or dead saints who speak not from the grave, how many of them have Rome killed? Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, 50 million just in the Spanish Inquisitions and the Portuguese Inquisition on top of that. And all, listen, that was just Spain and Portugal. 50 million. That doesn't record all the Crusades and all the other Inquisitions. A closer figure is 500 million Bible-believing Christians since the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church. And that is what we've forgotten, the Protestant churches. And not only have we forgotten the martyrs of Jesus, we've forgotten the scriptures, we've forgotten the Protestant Reformation, the Protestant reformers and what they taught, and now what we're doing is believing and teaching and leading other people back to the Roman Catholic Church. That's what this is all about. God help us.
And after the, he made one more sentence there, and I'm not going to read that sentence. The host of the program then said, wow, got to get that up on the site. That's another one of those ones that I think people really need to hear. I think it strikes right at the heart and the meat of what's going on, and it's funny to me, peculiar funny, that he spoke previously about how the philosophy was brought into the church. Funny enough, in my own studies of the Reformation, beyond the reformers and so on and so forth, the radical reformers versus the magisterial reformers. Oh. You know, find out, lo and behold, they were into philosophy.
Philosophy.
Think of what. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. What religion has
the
more?
Protestant reformers were into philosophy. They were into the scriptures.
That's what fueled the Reformation.
The scriptures. If it were not for the fact that the scriptures were finally printed not in Latin that the people couldn't read, but in every language in Europe, and the people read it for themselves, that's philosophy? This is absurd.
This is Babylonian babble.
That's what it is.
This is
look at the distinction. She's talking about radical reformers. You mean Calvin and Huss and Jerome and Zwingli and Martin Luther, all the Protestant reformers were radical? They were believers in the scriptures. That's radical? Let me tell you something. They're starting to call Bible-believing Christianity Christians, true Bible-believing Christians. They're calling them radical fundamentalists. And this host of this show that you're speaking of called the reformers radical reformers. See, they're hanging the tag on us right now, radical. Okay? We know all about radical fundamentalist Islamics, right? We're waging crusades against them. That means we're next. And if you think I'm stretching this too far, you just wait a few more years. Now, look what she compares radical reformers with. Magisterial reformers. Do you know what the magisterium is of the Roman Catholic Church? The magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church is the teaching authority of the Roman Catholic Church. The ones that they call the fathers, like Liguori and all the other Jesuit cardinals that set the doctrine for the Roman Catholic Church, these are the magisterial. And if they're trying to change the Roman Catholic Church a little bit, they're called reformers. She's using, right out of the Roman Catholic dictionary, the word magisterial reformers. It's obvious where she's coming from. She's comparing the magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church with the radical Protestant reformers, Calvin, Zwingli, Huss, Jerome, Wycliffe, Tyndale, Luther, and all of them.
And it, to finish it off, she says, find out, lo and behold, they were into philosophy. It got brought in and just follows like day follows night, that you would turn around and have this, where it's a matter of head knowledge. Really, really interesting. And that becomes, you know, like he said, that's why the whole center would be around the pastor and the sermon. It's all about head knowledge, not getting to know experientially to know the Lord himself. And there's only one way that you experience the Lord is through the text.
That's
and,
right.
And if you want to hear the Lord, read the text out loud.
That's right. That is the word of Almighty God. He died for us to save us from our sin. And we want to know him. And where else in all the universe would you ever get to know him but by his word? This is counter-reformation teaching here. And it comes from this pastor on this program that you're making reference to. But it isn't just this pastor.
It's
everywhere.
This was his favorite book. He said this was one of his favorite books. This comes from Steve Meek. And Steve Meek has a master's degree at a seminary. Water runs downhill. And one of the biggest buyers of these books are pastors. And they're not preaching the Bible, they're giving book studies.
There you go.
They're giving book studies on Ignatius Loyola spiritual exercises.
Gospel, and it's straight out of the Jesuit-led Counter-Reformation, and right on the Jesuit website, they admit it. They take full credit for this new spirituality. And very well it belongs to them, and very well they should get credit for it. And if there was any Protestantism left in this country and the world, God's people would abandon these churches with prejudice, with extreme prejudice.
And abandon their spiritual exercises and spiritual formation. With that, we've run out of time, Tom. Is there anything you'd like to say, what you've got to think in the future on Inquisition update?
Well, I'm still on vacation. I'm still in the middle of my work, but I intend to return to Inquisition update and pick up where I left off, telling the historical truth about the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist of the Bible, the papacy, and her church, the synagogue of Satan, the Roman Catholic Church. Inquisition update Monday through Friday on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And thanks for another opportunity to tell the truth, Walt, and expose this ecumenical menace